Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of Kiri Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Kiri Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and the financial year ending 2025. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumption made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. I would like to introduce you to the management participating with us in today's conference call. We have with us Mr. Manish Kiri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Jayesh Hirani, Senior Manager, Accounts and Finance, and Mr. Suresh Gundalia, Company Secretary. I now request Mr. Manish Kiri to give his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and financial year 2025. I will begin with a brief overview of our Q4 FY25 performance, followed by key operational highlights and strategic updates. On a standalone basis, in the fourth quarter of the financial year 2025, the company delivered a strong sequential performance, with revenue from operations increasing by 19% quarter on quarter to 186.22 crore, driven by improved business momentum and operational throughput. The EBITDA stood at 8.4 crore against EBITDA loss of 10.6 crores in the same quarter of the previous year. The company reported a profit after tax of 1.8 crore, delivering a complete turnaround from the loss of 29 crore in quarter 4 FY24. This performance highlights the company's robust financial discipline, operational agility, and focus on long-term value creation, positioning it well for sustained profitability and growth in the coming quarters. For the financial year ending 2025, the standalone revenue from the operations was 655 crores, which grew by approximately 4% on year-on-year basis, and EBITDA loss was 44 crore against 63 crore of EBITDA loss in the last financial year. The company reported a profit after tax of 4.4 crore, a sharp reversal from the loss of 94 crore in the previous year. On a consolidated basis, the revenue from operations for the fourth quarter stood at 205 crore, a decline of about 6.5% year-on-year basis, with an EBITDA loss of around 5 crores as compared to EBITDA loss of 10 crores in quarter 4, 2024. Net loss for the quarter before share of profit of associate was about 64 crore against 29 crore in the quarter 4 of FY 2024. For the financial year ending 2025, on a consolidated basis, the revenue from operations was 740 crore, representing a growth of 4.4% of EBITDA. The EBITDA loss was 54 crore against an EBITDA loss of 60 crore in the first financial year. The net loss was 108 crore versus net loss of 91 crore in the last financial year. In the consolidated statement, the share of profit of associates include 373 crore of share of profit of Dystar, which does not have any impact on the valuation of the stake of Kiri in Dystar. During this quarter, we made a significant breakthrough in the long-standing Diastar matter by signing a share purchase agreement on 29 May 2025 to sell 37.57% stake to Longshan for the base consideration of $676.3 million, with an additional $20.3 million potentially payable. As per the Singapore Supreme Court ruling dated January 31, 2025, we are entitled to US$603.8 million plus 5.33% annual interest from September 3, 2023 until the payment is made. The deal is expected to close by October 2, 2025, subject to conditions. Condition precedents from the sale, which will be strategically deployed for a new investment and shareholder returns. Our greenfield project and copper and fertilizer under Indo-Asia Copper Limited is progressing well, with phase one requiring around 8,000 crore of investment at projected annual revenue exceeding 45,000 crores. Land acquisition, regulatory approvals, as well as the partnership with technology providers are in place, and we are moving forward for financial closure. To support this growth, our subsidiary Claronex Holdings secured US$130 million facility from two lenders backed by corporate guarantee and Diastar shares. This provides ample funding flexibility without impacting our debt-free standalone operations. Both standalone and consolidated financials for FY25 received unmodified audit opinions, reflecting strong governance. Looking ahead, we expect margin improvements as legal costs decline and anticipate 1,500 crores of annual revenue from our dyes and intermediate segment. Our focus on disciplined capital allocation and diversified growth will continue driving resilience and long-term value. With that, we can now begin the question and answer session. Thank you. Floor is open.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Amit Mehendale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. Just in the introductory remarks, there was a comment on the revenue guidance. Could you just repeat that guidance again, please?
Sorry, can you repeat, please?
Yeah, sure. In the introductory remarks, there was a revenue guidance of 1,500 crores. If you could, explain that, it will be useful.
That is the target that company has set up, to achieve for the consolidated performance for the next year. Correct.
Right, and what type of margins are we targeting, sir?
Well, if we assume that the legal cost is going to go down, which is happening now, with a lot of legal, legal work is getting completed with the sale purchase agreement signed, we should be having at least 8 to 10% of it on that.
Okay, great, sir. Thanks. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Participants, please restrict yourselves to two questions so that the management can answer as many participants as possible. If you have any more questions, kindly rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Nupur from Art Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Firstly, thanks for the opportunity. One thing I would like to ask, that if I look at the consolidated figures from the year March 2022, so since last 3 years, a decline has been witnessed in the top line, and accordingly, bottom line has been increased, majorly due to other income. So what constitutes the other income and why a fall has been witnessed in the top line of the company?
There is, Nupurji, there is a change in the way we consolidate. What has happened is we used to consolidate for years Longsheng Kiri, which is Indian JV, line by line in Kiri's books of accounts. I think from this year onwards, it has not been consolidated line by line, but it has been now added as a one line profit from the associate companies. So that is a major reason for the change in the top line for the consolidated performance, because of the change in the accounting practice. So you see increase in the bottom line, which is coming from the share of associates, while top line is declining. But if you look at the top line on the revenue basis for the last 3 years, combining both Kiri and 40% of Longsheng Kiri, it is not varying more than 10%, as a variance. The reason consolidated number makes sense, because a lot of raw materials which are produced in Kiri are supplied to the joint venture. And then the joint venture produces finished products which is sold to the customers. So the profits are captured partly in Kiri and partly in JV. And consolidated numbers reflect the profit correctly, which comes from the entire business of intermediates as well as dyes. So that is why the consolidated number, which accounts for the consolidation of JV. Now, there is another consolidation at the bottom line, which you see, which is coming from Dystar. Now, Dystar consolidation is just for the reporting purpose, and that is not the cash flow to the company. That I must clarify to you. It is not the cash flow to the company. It is the reporting of the share of profits that is earned by Dystar, and 37.57% of that is coming over there. Now, going through the sell process and now crystallizing Kiri's receivable, which is close to $676 million plus $20 million, another cost, so that would allow a fixed and the crystallized number that Kiri would receive from the Dystar proceeds. Hence, the consolidated number would not reflect into any cash flow streams. I hope that helps.
Yeah, I got your point. One last thing, would like to ask you that what constitutes the other income? Because if I look at the financials of March 2025, our EBITDA is in negative, as you already stated in your opening remarks. And just because of, to some extent, because of other income, our PAT was positive. So when our EBITDA margin, we can expect that it's going to improve or it's going to be a bit better as compared to the last financial years.
I think the next two financial years, the numbers are going to improve based on our internal projections. And if I'm correct, the other income also includes the dividend income that we receive from the joint venture. So that is part of also the operational cash flow that we receive from as a dividend from the joint venture company. And which is going to continue to come, and it has been coming almost every year now.
Yeah, that is fair enough, but I believe, as you said, that dividend received by your company will form part of operating cash flow. But as per my opinion, dividend received will form part of your cash flow from investing activity. How you can classify
Correct.
That as operating activity?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you repeat, please, Nupurji? Yeah, your voice is echoing.
Okay. So I was saying that you mentioned that dividend received by your company, you are saying it is cash flow from operating activities. So as per my opinion, dividend received is always classified as cash flow from investing activities. So why you considered this dividend as operating cash flow?
Well, I think it is coming from the operations of the JV, but either way, you know, either you consider it as an income from the investment activity or the other income. From your analysis perspective, that's an income which is coming in the company.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Ankit from Fusion Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, Ankit.
Yeah, so my question was for the Dystar proceed. So please correct me if I'm wrong. Like, sir, the payment date you mentioned, 2nd October 2025, right? Or is it the final sale?
Correct.
Payment will take some time from that?
See, the final date which has been now confirmed is October 2nd, 2025, correct? And there is an extension period of 30 days. So if it is up to receiver, if receiver thinks that the deal is coming to close and there is only formality left, there is some regulatory approval which are coming, but, you know, it's only overlapping to complete the pending matters, receiver has discretion to give 30 days grace, right, which will bring this to November 2nd. So either the money to be in place to be paid to Kiri by October 2nd or before October 2nd, or in the worst case, if the extension is given by the receiver, if receiver feels so, then it should be by November 2nd, Kiri should be receiving.
Okay, got it. And secondly, like, we were planning to participate in auction, like there was Deloitte appointed for that. So, like, why we chose to go with the,
we haven't chose. I think there is a misunderstanding here. It is not company's choice to enter into agreement to sell the shares. Please understand, correct? It is Deloitte who has decided to sell the company shares to Longchen because Longchen ended up as the highest bidder at a value of $1.9 billion.
Okay.
Because Longchen was also the bidder, right? So they bidded $1.9 billion and because of their bid was highest, receiver chose them to as the highest bidder to sell the company. It is not Kiri. It is the receiver who has entered into the agreement and it is the receiver who is the signatory to the agreement and is the receiver who has sold the shares of Kiri to Longchen. So I think that requires some clarification on your understanding. It is not Kiri's choice or it is not Kiri's consideration, nothing like that. This has come out of the competitive bidding process run by Deloitte and it is Deloitte's decision.
And
I'm sorry to interrupt, Ankit. Those were your two questions. Could you please fall back into the queue?
Join back, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Himanshu Dugar from Stylus Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question I wanted to understand was now that the deal between Dystar has happened, is there any understanding on how the cross-holding transaction, that is transaction between Kiri and Longchen Kiri, the Indian JV, as well as between Longchen Kiri and Dystar will continue going on? Because I understand all three also have transactions in between.
See, last 10 years when both the shareholders, Longchen as well as Kiri, they're both in the court and fighting in the court in Singapore. And Longchen Kiri has been the supplier to Dystar for 10 years, even today, and it is continued to supply to Dystar even in future also. So operations of Longchen Kiri in terms of supplying to Dystar as a relationship between Dystar and Longchen Kiri as the buyer and the seller, as the customer and supplier, is going to continue. It is not going to change anything. So JV status, JV's operations, and JV supplying to Dystar is not going to change. It is going to continue irrespective of whoever is the shareholder of Dystar. So that is one part. And JV is not a part of any transaction here. It is Dystar which is getting sold. So JV is nowhere relevant here. As far as the supplies are concerned, they are going to continue to Dystar. I hope I addressed your question.
Yeah, thanks for the clarification, sir. Last question from my part. On the interest expense, I think we are recording almost 50 to 55 crores quarterly interest expense on our borrowing of around 1100 crores. I understand that would around work out to 19-20%, but we have borrowed at a much lower rate, right? So what is the difference? You could elaborate on that.
You are talking about the interest where? Interest on the borrowing of 1100 crores?
Yes.
Sorry?
Can you clarify your question? So my question is, for example, for the March 25 quarter, we have recorded an interest expense of 54
right.
crores. On the balance
that is
sheet,
the, that you are referring to the consolidated number, correct? Consolidated
figure. Right. Yes, yes.
So it's not a standalone. That consolidated P&L number is coming from the borrowing of 130 million, which I mentioned in my opening speech, which has been done by Kiri's subsidiary in Singapore. Right? And that 130 million is currently being invested into IACL, Indo-Asia Copper Limited, for the copper fertilizer project. So that is the borrowing which is related to the new project, and that is in the subsidiary of Kiri, and that is what is coming here on a consolidated basis. It is not an interest-bearing loan on the operations of the dyes and the chemical business that the company is operating, right? That borrowing is an advance taken against the judgment order in the Singapore subsidiary of Kiri, and that interest is payable as and when the the Dystar funds are received, and as and when those funds are paid to settle that borrowing, correct? So even though it is accrued in the subsidiary, it has no relevance with the operations of dyes and chemicals of the company. I hope that gives you some clarification.
Just a small follow-up question on this, sir. So my only question here is, till the time the funds from Dystar are finally received in books of Kiri, will we be having this 18 crore kind of monthly interest expense to be recorded, or the number is related to something else as well?
Every quarter the accrual will be done, correct, in a Kiri subsidiary, which you will see on a consolidated basis in consolidated P&L in India, correct? So it will accrue every quarter, whatever you've seen in the quarter, last quarter.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rohan Shukla from Anand Rathi Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we can hear you. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, so my question was broadly about the CAPEX. Can you briefly guide about what CAPEX are we expecting over the next few years? I think I missed the opening commentary, and how much will that be contributing to the overall top line? Also, the full year CAPEX for FY25, what was that? Thank you.
So, over a period of next 2 to 2.5 years, company is going to invest something close to 8,000 crore in a new project. And out of that, 1,100 crore equity investment is going on as we speak. So, till the Dystar funds are received, company is going to continue to invest into CAPEX even in this financial year, but over a period of next 2 to 3 years, we'll be investing somewhere close to 8,000 crore in CAPEX, and which will generate, as I mentioned, almost 45,000 crore of revenue on the full operation basis of the copper and fertilizer facility.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Bhavishya Dakula from Aventis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible? Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so my question is regarding the copper segment. So you told that the revenue that is projected over the course of years is 45,000 crores. However, I wanted to understand that you guided 8 to 12% EBITDA margin for that copper segment. However, peers such as Hindalco and Vedanta are usually at around 5% or lower. So can I understand how this 8 to 12% margin is coming from?
See, the margins are coming from two major factors. Number one, you know, company is investing into manufacturing of copper, including value-added products. So it is not only sale of copper cathodes, but all value-added products such as rods, tubes, foils. So value-added products is part of the investment which we have announced, and that value addition gives us 3 to 4% better margins, you know, compared to selling only pure copper. So that is one area. And second area, being a new plant, being a new technology, there is an improvement in the process, and the new facilities now require lesser energy compared to before, lesser recycling of the refined copper compared to before. Smelters are more efficient, correct? And those factors also play a role, and whenever the new technology and new smelters are being set up, those are operating at a little bit better efficiency, giving better margins. Number three, the important factor is also we have two product lines here. One is a smelting and second is recycling. And two feeding systems are being planned. That would allow the recycling of copper to be done, and the higher the portion of recycling, better the margins would be. So these are the three factors which we have envisaged, which allow us to have a bit better margins than the peer group companies. So we hope that we are able to implement this successfully. Yeah.
Another question with regard to copper was that sourcing copper concentrate is one of the biggest risks that the company faces right now. So where are we in terms of the contracts that we've built up with mines to get those supplies, and what geographies are you targeting, and what tier of these mines are coming? Just a look on that.
See, that is the most challenging and toughest part. The highest work that we would need to make is to do offtake contracts for copper concentrate for the entire facility, and we have been focusing on this part. Our team has been, you know, in touch and in connect with so many miners, including the major MNCs, to have majority of our concentrate tied up. With certain contracts which we have executed till now, we are at 50% tie-up from Chile, Africa, and Peru, but we are still, you know, 50% away, and it will still take us another 6 months to a year before we have 100% or 125% of our requirement is fully tied up with offtake agreements. So that is in process. That is the most challenging part of the entire business model. As you rightly say, we are on the top of it, and on an annual basis, we would need around 2 million ton of 1.8 to 2 million ton of copper concentrate, and hopefully we should be able to tie that up.
But it is still work in progress.
We would be able to use, you know, because of the improvements, somewhere from 20 to 25%. We would not require to have more than 25% strictly. So even if lower grade of copper concentrate, our process would be able to use it.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Yash Dantewadia from Dante Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, Yash.
Yeah, so I have two basic questions. Post taxes and everything, based on today's Forex price, what amount are we expecting to come into the balance sheet post we receive the money from Longseng? Hello.
So it is $676 million, which you will see in the announcement. And
no.
And also there is another $20 million addition in that. That $20 million includes additional interest because the interest is running, and also includes in part the fees to the receiver. So when you convert all this into Indian rupee, you are looking at somewhere close to 6,000 crore pre-tax.
And post-tax, do you have the number?
Post-tax, the tax workings are still not final. Okay. And,
but an
and,
approximate
and once
number?
We across, you take, you know, 12.5% of this number, so which would be around, let us say, 75-80 crores.
That's the taxable
amount. 700 crore is a taxable amount. I'm sorry.
Right. So you're saying in a ballpark number, we expect around 5,200 to 5,500 crore. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, 5,200 to 5,300. Correct. That's a fair assumption.
And my
These are the preliminary numbers. And,
yeah, that's fine.
You know, I'm not a tax expert. So
yeah.
Even if tax reduces from that, you should not,
definitely.
Thank you.
Definitely. That's why I just wanted a preliminary number from you. Don't expect the exact number because
right.
I know that's complicated. And also depends on the forex changes that happen during this
right.
time, right? So my second question is...
And also what other tax expenses that we would be able to claim, you know, for tax optimization, which our tax and accounts team will be working on. But you can take this as a ballpark number.
Right. And my second question is, who's going to be heading the copper entity? I think it's the director of Aditya Birla Hindustan Copper. Hindalco Copper, right? Hindalco Copper. So, from when will he be attending the con calls? Because I know he's already hired, right?
I think, yeah, there is a team which is in place, correct, right now. And the team is getting built. Every month, you know, we have more senior people joining. So, in a 1 or 2 quarter, we will have the head of business who will come and also brief you on the conference call. But still, you know, still it will take 1 or 2 quarters till we reach to a stage where we start reporting you numbers.
No, so my question is, who is heading the entity? Is it the same director of the copper, Hindalco copper? Or it's not decided?
No, it is not decided. No, it's not decided yet. It's not decided yet.
So
right?
By when will we understand clarity on this portion? Because I as you know, this is one of the most important things, right? That who is going to be heading
right,
the corporate
right. entities. Right. So, correct. So you will have that picture clear in a quarter one, in a 1 or 2 quarter from now. And because right now there are few sensitive matters which are going on. And that is the reason that we are not announcing the team of the full management team of Indo-Asia Copper Limited. We will make that announcement, and since then you will see the competent people will coming and briefing you on the progress of the project.
Right, I just have, I'm not asking a question, I just have
I'm
something
sorry
to convey.
Interrupt, Yash, could you please fall back in the queue? You are done with your 2 questions.
No, I just wanted to convey something, it's not a question really. I just wanted to tell them that if it's possible, please give us clarity on the management as soon as possible.
We will give you clarity.
We are really looking forward to that, right?
Yeah,
that is
course.
Very, very important.
And we at the same time, we also want to ensure that we are very competent and capable team and not only one person, correct? So you would need to have competent team. It's a large project which cannot be driven by one person, correct? So when you look at the management bandwidth of the new business,
you will look at all operations are covered with respective heads who have enough experience. So it would be a team of 6-7 people and not one person. And we will give you that information.
Yeah, I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Sandeep Raj from Oculus Capital Growth Fund. Please go ahead. Sandeep, please go ahead with your question and unmute yourself in case if you're on mute.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead with your question.
Hi, sir. Good evening. So my question is regarding the 1,500 crores revenue guidance. So we did around 70 crores revenue this year. So how do we plan on doubling our revenue from here? Hello.
Yes. So what we are planning to do currently is trying to add more and more value-added products without incurring any capex. Our current capacities are underutilized. We are utilizing only 42% capacity of entire installed capacity of Kiri on standalone basis on all plants. So we will be ramping up our capacities and ramping up with value-added products with improvement of product mix. So that product mix improvement would actually drive the revenue as well as profit growth both. And we are adding a lot more dye intermediates, which are replacing Chinese imports. And that would also help us to increase our capacity utilization. So it is pure capacity utilization and product mix improvement. There is no investment which is taking place in the company for the dyes and interpretive process.
Okay, and this 1,500 crore is complete top line, right? This does not include the other income, which is the share from JV, right?
No. No, it's a top line of the company, correct.
Okay, and what is the profit share that we expect from JV in FY26?
From profits from JV?
Yeah.
JV will make a beta somewhere in the range of 150 to 200 crores.
150 to 200 crores. And we have a share of 40%, if I'm not wrong, right?
Yes, we'll have 40% share. Correct.
Okay, sir. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Ankit Bagrecha from Bagrecha Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a question regarding Dystar sale. So by what time is the management expecting to receive the amount in the account?
So there is a fixed date which has been decided by the receiver, and the fixed date is October 2nd, 2025. So the amount has to get credited to Kiri's account either before October 2nd or last date is October 2nd, 2025.
Okay, thank you. And any plans to reward the shareholders from the amount to be received?
Yes. As we have informed earlier, there will be certain part which will be rewarding to the shareholders. Yes, thank you.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Apeksha Agarwal from Intellect Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So one thing I want to understand on the copper business. Since it's your sourcing is commodity driven and it has been quite volatile in terms of pricing in the recent past, I want to understand when we go through production and selling, do you intend to have a pass-through model or absorption of this cost? If you could give me a broad level understanding of how copper price volatility will, kind of reflect on our company's EBITDA guidance of 8 to 12%.
As I mentioned earlier, if you look at the copper pricing over a longer term trajectory, you know better than me that it is upward. So when you talk about 3 years, 5 years from now, you are talking about $15,000 a ton, $18,000 a ton. So it's expected to go on a long term basis. It may fluctuate short term, But overall, the trajectory could be positive for 10, 20 or 25 years, number one. Number two, as I explained earlier, the way we have tried to disconnect, with the volatility is to sell value-added products and to produce value-added products. So there are three buckets of profitability that we try to capture. One is the value addition by selling the value-added copper products, the consumer products, and not pure cathodes. Number two, with the improved technology, with the new investment, and today's technology is energy efficient, lesser power consumption, more yields, lesser recycling, and all those benefits. Right, and so these are the two main drivers, right? And third driver would also be how efficiently we are able to source, and how we are able to generate precious metal recovery. So copper plant is not only a copper plant. Copper plant produces quite a lot of gold and silver, as you know, correct? So the higher the amount of recovery we make on gold and silver, that would also be the third element that will add to the profitability of the entire business.
Right, sir. And sir, a follow-up on the question which was answered earlier. 1,500 crore of top line predominantly is utilization of the existing capacity and ramping up new products such that, you have value-added products adding into it. So if you could entertain my question, so what was the bottleneck of ramping up till now? Like, why were we not being able to do it? Was there a macroeconomic into play or something where we were not able to do this earlier, which you envisaged doing it this year?
I think certain series of products which we couldn't introduce in the market earlier. We could not develop those dye intermediates. If you are aware, there are certain products on which now QCO has come. So quality control order would make the import of certain intermediates quite difficult in India, right? Because the BIS has been made mandatory, and that has allowed us to have more sales in the domestic market by increasing our capacity and selling more quantity into domestic market, which would be basically replacing Chinese imports of intermediates into India. So certain policy changes which are helping now, certain product ranges which we could not develop and add before, which are being added now. So these are the combination of factors which allowed us to keep the ambitious target.
Right, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Bhavishya Daluka from Aventis Capital. Please go ahead. Bhavishya, please go ahead with your question and unmute yourself in case you're on mute. Yes, please.
Okay. In terms of the fertilizer segment, what kind of industry outlook are we looking at in terms of top line and the EBITDA margin? And how much of the residue from the copper will be used for the raw materials to make fertilizers? So something upon that.
So just to answer your question, copper smelter makes a lot of sulfuric acid, and that sulfuric acid is being converted to phosphoric acid and phosphoric fertilizers. So with 500,000 tons of copper, we expect to produce 1,000,000 tons of fertilizer, and fertilizer profit, is minimum. It is not the profit driving element for the entire business model, but it is more of a byproduct and more of a disposal of sulfuric acid in the form of manufacturing of fertilizers, correct? So current business model has less than 5% of of EBITDA from the fertilizer sales. So and the revenue number is also much lesser, right? So you are not looking at a profit contributor from the fertilizer, but you are looking at byproduct sales generating some revenue and recovering all the cost of manufacturing of fertilizer. So that is how we look at the
the business angle of fertilizer along with the copper smelter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Vignesh from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is, wanted to understand if in Q4 at standalone level, have we incurred any further expenses related to legal charges?
Yes, there were legal expenses and significant legal expenses in this quarter also, correct? So,
okay.
So whatever numbers you see are post legal expenses, correct?
So, I mean, since the resolution has been reached, can we expect that this number to go to, matlab, minimum at least in the
quarter? Yes, yes, of course. From this month onwards, from June onwards, we are actually expecting the legal expenses to go half. So to give you a number perspective, right, we were running between, you know, somewhere close to 12 crore to 15, 16 crore, including receivers cost. Okay? So that is the number that we have been looking at every quarter. So that may reduce to half. And
okay.
Right, so that would still incur around 7-8 crore per quarter. Because
got
the receiver's cost is going to continue to incur from the liquidity perspective, right? Because both the shareholders are paying today half-half, correct?
Right.
But as
right.
per the court order, we will get it fully paid, along with 5.33% interest. So whatever we have paid to receiver, everything is going to come back with interest from the sales proceeds.
Right. Perfect. So if I understand it right, since we have been, you know, debiting our expense, I mean, we are putting it through our regular P&L, all these legal expenses, would it
right.
be fair to say
correct.
That you know, accumulated loss for last 5 years has been around 250 crores at standalone level. So it would be fair to say
right.
that whenever we receive this legal expenses interest, that will be a pass-through and there would be no tax on that part at least to the tune of 250
Exactly. So we will be able to offset that, you know, when we our liability of tax.
Right, sir. I get it. Perfect.
So, second thing.
So, I see, I mean, I thought the legal expenses might not have come in this quarter, but still we have ended up with a 4.5% OPM. So, just wanted to understand, is this primarily because of backward integration of sulfuric acid or has the product mix changed a bit in this quarter?
I think product mix has made a major contribution. So the product mix has given us a little better margins and because the prices didn't improve in this quarter. Prices, in fact, the average sale price has reduced in this quarter. Correct. But
okay.
still we got better profitability because of the product mix.
Got it. Just one last question from my side, sir. Wanted to understand, are we considering Lonsen Kiri does a better product mix compared to what our standalone does? Have we ever considered to buy out that 60% stake from the proceeds that we are getting?
We have already tried, we sent a proposal to the partner on the other side, but I think it would be a separate negotiation. We would be 100% interested to buy out the partner stake in Lonsen Kiri. Absolutely. But
okay.
It all depends on how things unfold and how negotiations take place post-closure of Daisa.
Correct. Thank you. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank
all
you.
The best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Nitin Sharma from Seaburg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. I'm not sure if you already
asked
the question. What happens in case Longsheng backs out from acquiring lower stakes?
So let me try to highlight you few things here. Okay, the currently what receiver has done is considered Longshen, a listed company of China, as a signatory and as a purchaser, as a highest bidder, you know, to buy Distar. Correct. Now you know being and that gives Longshen to be responsible and accountable to close the deal as per the commitment they have given to the court. Giving commitment to the receiver is as good as giving commitment to the court. So either they honor their commitment to the court and complete the transaction before October 2nd, or if they don't do it, or if receiver sees that certain conditions, you know, subsequent, which they have to deliver, if receiver is seeing some delays in that, or some lacuna in terms of compliance or inability from Longshen side, let us say they monitor July, they monitor August, and they realize that, well, you know, they don't think these guys are going to be able to meet the October 2nd date, or they haven't gotten the regulatory permission, you know, there is a denial, there is some issue, then receiver can decide to terminate this also and hand over to the second bidder, correct? Now, so or on October 2nd, if they fail, then this will go to the next bidder. Whoever is the second bidder is going to get this. And they are going to then come in. So that is how this is going to happen. And if Longshen default, they will face the consequences.
Understood. And the second question related to this, what is the...
And please remember that Distar's cash is almost $650 million today, which is as good as the amount that Giri has to receive.
Understood. Fair enough. Second question
was,
what is this additional amount that could also come mentioned in the release? If you can just explain.
The additional $20 million accounts for two things, right? Some part of it will come to Giri as an additional interest, because today interest is already running on $604 million. Correct? So if the interest amount exceeds the total, the award plus interest of 676, let us say if the, along with the interest amount, it comes to 685. So then this additional $20 million will be used to pay the additional interest amount to Giri, and it will also be used to pay the cost to the receiver, whatever receiver has to receive from this. So it will account for both.
Understood. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Amit Mehendale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. So my question is on the earlier comment that the BIS has become mandatory now. Just wanted to check what is the effective date for that, and do you see any positive impact on overall DAI intermediary space because of this?
I think it is going to be having quite a positive effect for overall DAI's industry in general. That is my belief. For a fundamental reason that, you know, intermediate prices have been very low over a long time, and imports, especially imports from China, used to put a cap on the prices in India. Now with QCO in place and BIS already implemented, right, there will be a mandatory compliance on the quality. And for HSD and vinyl sulfon, it was to start from May 13, but the government has extended it for 3 more months. So August 13 is the exact date on which the QCO will be enforced in India for dice intermediates. That will give a positive impact on the price improvements of intermediates and also price improvements on the dyes as well. So I think there will be some changes in the overall price structure in India as well as for exports.
Right, sir. Thanks. And my second question is on the, you know, could you share some details of the, like, the second highest bidder?
Well, I don't have it actually because it's a confidential information that receiver has not also shared us. But what I learned from the market, because the you know, the long-term bid was around $1.9 billion, okay? Now, my market information and market intelligence suggests that the next one is in the range of $1.6 billion.
Perfect. Okay. That's it from
my okay, but anyway, it is much higher than what KD has to receive. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I was just looking to see the size. Yeah. I was hoping that it is higher than 1.3, 1.4 billion, just ballpark number.
Yeah, it is higher.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ankit from Fusion Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Ankit.
So I wanted to understand the root cause for, like, we mentioned in the last phone call for 31st of March. So is it postponed it to 2nd of October? So, like, what was the reason for that?
See, the binding bid closed at March 7, okay? So that was date which was the firm date, and that date was not extended. So March 7 was the date on which the bids, binding bids ended, okay? Then the receiver negotiated or you know, receiver communicated with several bidders, and I suppose if I'm not wrong, there were 4 binding bids, okay? And then the receiver tried to negotiate or tried to discuss with every one of them. And then based on the receiver's judgment, they decided to go with Longshan as the highest bidder, close to $1.9 billion. And that took them from March 7th to, I believe, you know, May 2nd or May 7th. So there were 2 months they took in this process, correct? Scrutinizing bid and deciding the bid. And then coming to a final bidder, and then they started to negotiate an SPA with them, conditions with them, you know. So that took another a month or so. So I think the receiver's internal target was to complete the sell purchase agreement and execute it by end of May, which they did. Okay, and even in original process, there was a 3 months to 4 months requirement. When Deloitte submitted their original plan to the court, so signing of SPA and then completing the conditions and closing would take another 3 to 4 months time, and I think with some leniency they have given 4 months time, because I remember there was a legal opinion received by the receiver that Longshan would need Chinese approvals and Chinese capital control approvals and ODI approvals for buying especially 37.57% of Kiri shares. So those approvals requirements actually contemplated. Even if there were some other bidder, you know, non-compete approvals, a lot of other things. So 3 months was already stipulated, and I think 1 month additional is given. And that is how October 2nd date has been decided, with the negotiation between the parties. Parties were receiver and the purchaser. We were not involved in the negotiation process.
Okay, understood. And in the case, let's say this first bidder does not get on time, then for the second bidder, they will again give 4 months or what time to the second bidder?
I think the receiver has kept the competitive spirit alive, okay? So the second bidder would also have at some point in time access to the information, SPA negotiations, and closing conditions, right? Parallel to when the Longshan is concluding. So I don't think receiver is going to wait, because let us say if Longshan fails on October 2nd, receiver has to close it by December 31st, because December 31st is court's long stop date. It cannot extend beyond it. So the second bidder has to be prepared, ready, and closed before 31st of December.
Okay, got it. And lastly, on the
sorry to interrupt, plan. Ankit. Those were your two questions. Could you please?
So, Ankit,
by
that is the termination. That is the close. That is the date that cannot be changed.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vivek Joshi from Bandar Punch Capital LLP. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for all the clarifications. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So I wanted to know what are the conditions in which we get the 20 million? And in your press release, you also had a line that this amount could be further adjusted. So is it like it could be downward adjusted also or upward adjusted? And does this amount include all the legal costs and all that also? It's a total amount or those costs will come anyway?
Yes. Please understand. So there are few things. Why it is adjustment mentioned? Because adjustment could be, if you look at the number is a precise number. Okay? And why it is a precise number? Because the number is estimating 676 million is only 604 million of interest of the main award and the interest on the main award. When you put that together, it becomes 676 million, correct? So that is one part, correct? Then what is left for Kiri to receive is the legal cost and the interest on legal cost. So legal cost and interest on legal cost at 5.33% per year is running from 2022. So 22, 23, 24, so all these years, you know, and the legal cost itself was 8.5 million Singapore dollar plus interest. So all put together, so legal cost plus interest, and then if there is any additional interest, let us say if it is 2 weeks more, then more interest, then the computation date, then another interest to be added, plus the receiver's amount to be given to receiver, fees is to be paid to receiver. So all these additional, you know, is part of this 20 million. So let us say if it is not enough, then this is all closed and it is to be another 3 million, okay, added or 4 million added. Then it to be adjusted upward. Let us say when the computation come precise and Longshan concludes the deal, maybe earlier, maybe they pays in August, let us assume, right? So then there will be some reduction. So instead of then 20 million, it would be 18 million or 19 million or whatever the number it comes to. So that is 20 million could be either upward, right, if the fees of receiver is more or the cost of it, or the interest amount is more, or it could be downward if Longshan pays earlier than the due date. That's the adjustment of 20 million, up or down.
Yeah, okay. That was very clear. Just one more thing I wanted to know. On the balance sheet, you have a consolidation asset of around 2,800 crores. Which you have been consolidating the profit
right.
of Dystar, will that be
yes.
sold as an asset? Like, will that be the cost of the asset and we'll get the tax benefit or no?
No, we don't get a tax benefit on that. No. I think our advice was no, because that was the asset and it was the book value of the asset that is there in the company's books. Correct? So...
Okay.
So that
amount will just get removed from the balance sheet, right?
Yes, it will exactly. It will remove from the balance sheet and replaced by the proceeds of sale of assets. Exactly.
Yeah, but that asset will not be treated as cost of asset. The cost of asset will be the original one.
No, that won't be treated because cost of asset would be the original one, and then because it would be capital gain that we will. Have to pay on
so the 676,
original,
so just to finally confirm, the 676 crore is confirmed, it would be after plus something.
Yes.
That amount has to be decided, right?
So 676 is 604 plus interest cost.
And interest cost has been calculated till which date?
Interest cost is calculated till October 2nd.
So if they give earlier, so if the 676 could also be less. Is that right? Is that correct?
Yeah, so if they pay earlier, so instead of reducing 606, the idea that receiver has, they kept the tax to be fixed to be paid to Kiri, but the 20 million will be adjusted.
No, but so the, what is the cost of the, so the sale amount for the Die Star would be 603 only. The rest will be as other income, right?
No, 600, yes, exactly. Rest would be the other income, exactly. So that would be the interest income.
Okay. So the capital gains would be applicable on only the 603 million, whatever rest would
only,
be...
Only on 603. Yes, it would be full income, and our losses of 3 years would be adjusted against it.
Okay, fair enough.
Against that income. Yeah?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
Thank you all for participating in today's conference call. I wish you all the best. Stay well, stay healthy, and we'll see you in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Kiri Industries, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.